Hello and welcome to another episode of Blue Alpine TV. In today's episode, we'll talk about what kind of over-the-counter offers are going around for Bitcoin, and we'll talk about how much the Bitcoin network has transferred in terms of value and where we're going with this. So let's jump right into this kind of first tweet, and it's kind of related to the price action that we saw kind of in the last 1, 2, 3 days. So if we look at the chart, for example, on Bitcoin, this is the 7-day chart for the podcast listeners, and what we're looking at is around the day before yesterday, so around the 2nd of April, we kind of hit a low that has been going on for quite a while, so $6,500. And then it kind of grew back up until 7,000 and then even reached close to 7,500 yesterday and today. And then it actually dropped back again. And we're currently at around 6,800, 6,700, something like this. And one of the theories of why this price action actually happened and why people got excited and kind of bought back into Bitcoin and stuff was kind of this tweet. So Jeremy Gardner, I don't know him personally. He's the founder of the Augur project, and he's saying he has this tweet, and he released this yesterday, and he's saying over-the-counter market demand for Bitcoin right now is unlike anything I've ever witnessed. Several asks for multi-billion-dollar blocks. Well, he's then correcting, saying several bids for multi-billion dollar blocks. Now, there's a bunch of things here that we want to dig into. First of all, over-the-counter market. An over-the-counter market is kind of a marketplace besides a typical exchange. So two parties meet in the middle or through a third party in some kind of way. They agree on the terms of an exchange. So I agree to send you $1 tomorrow. With this speed or this by this time, and you agree to it, and we do an exchange. I give you $1, you give me a book or something like this. And the over-the-counter market is kind of for really, for first of all, more for private people, and second of all, it's not really private people at that. It's more of private organizations or big organizations. So what we're talking about or have been talking about the last couple of weeks with institutional money and the big hedge funds and all of these things, like these family-owned offices, family-owned like kind of finance offices, these are all trading over the counter. Why? Mainly because the demand that they are bringing to the table can just not be kind of covered by an exchange. So it could be that, for example, I'm coming, I have a hedge fund, I have like $100 million, $200 million US dollar I want to put in right now into Bitcoin. The fact, first of all, like how fast can I buy the amount of Bitcoin that I would like to buy for $100 million US dollars? It's going to be very, very slow, first of all. And the second problem is kind of while I'm buying this, the price already starts moving because the volume is just super high. So it's in order to avoid this, you don't want to kind of affect the price too much. So you agree, let's say Bitcoin, 7,000 US dollars is one Bitcoin, and you agree to buy 100 Bitcoins. So then you agree on the price of these 7 million US dollars, and you want to get them right away, right now. So over the counter is kind of a bit of an abstract concept, and most people like you and I, we haven't really heard of this concept, but it is important to understand that there is a lot of trading and a lot of kind of exchange of money, Bitcoin and currency happening in a kind of secondary market, and this secondary market is called like over the counter market. Now the thing is, with this tweet, a lot of people got excited and thought, oh well, now the big money is coming, someone else is believing in Bitcoin, so I need to buy up right now. And this kind of price increase can be explained by this. Now obviously this is and that's the problem with price action and chart action. It's always kind of very emotional, and it's people believing a rumor, people believing kind of a news story, a headline, and that's exactly what we're seeing here. That is also kind of why the price has gone back down again. What will happen in the next few days? Nobody really knows. Clear is the over-the-counter demand is here. That is very good for the ecosystem, yes. But short-term, this won't change anything like significantly with the price. In order to get the price back up, we need more people that will buy into crypto. And I'm talking about more normal people in quotes. I'm not talking about institutional money. I'm not talking about hedge funds. I'm not talking about family finance offices in any way. I'm talking kind of the John Doe or Jane Doe who want to buy Bitcoin and kind of diversify their portfolio a bit, or maybe even use it as a digital currency. So these are the people that we need to get into cryptocurrency. And obviously, I mean, you can help them if you have family members or friends or all of these things. Send them this video, send them the podcast, send them anything content related to cryptocurrency to really get them up to speed on what is happening with cryptocurrency. Why is this such an important and interesting evolution that's happening in terms of in the financial world and also how our entire economy works. So like I said, price action, it's kind of expected in these kinds of things. Don't read too much into this. Could very well be that we're going sideways, or it could be that we're slowly bouncing back. Nobody really knows. But for now, it's around 6,500 is kind of like this barrier. And as soon as we cross this down, it will go down even a bit more and find like support somewhere else. Which kind of brings me to this next news story. And it says there's $6 trillion US dollars was sent across the Bitcoin network. So in the article, it kind of says that, yeah, while the price has been going down and it's actually, I think, the worst quarter of Bitcoin's history, what is interesting to know is that the value transferred over the Bitcoin network is actually quite a lot. So in the article it says, as it was investigated, more than $6 trillion US dollars has been transferred across Bitcoin network over the past several years. So we're talking maybe 5 to 7 years, because you've had these beginning years where the volume or generally the value transfer on the network was very minimal to non-existent, basically. So it's only in the last couple of years where you had some price action. So I would say when the price jumped from like 10 US dollars to 100, there the real volume started to come in and people started using cryptocurrency kind of Bitcoin kind of as a cryptocurrency, or even to buy and sell stuff. So this is kind of really, really interesting. And considering this amount, like $6 trillion US dollars is very, very, like it's a lot in my opinion, considering that this currency, if you will, is fairly young, around 10 years. And not a lot of people know about Bitcoin. Yes, there were the headlines, media reported about it, all of these things, but still, not a lot of people own Bitcoin. Not a lot of people know what Bitcoin actually is. And I think it's currently really an education problem that we have. We need to educate people on how Bitcoin works, how cryptocurrencies work in general. We need to mention stuff like decentralization and all of these topics that are really important and core to the Bitcoin idea. And as soon as we get people more excited and people understand what the kind of the value proposition of potential Bitcoin is, then I think more people will get into it. The transfer volume, or like the value transferred over the network, this volume will increase as well. And then I think sky is the limit. And as a comparison, this is really interesting. And I know we shouldn't like compare apples to oranges. And I know credit cards are not equal to cryptocurrency in that regard. But I think if you think about kind of from the currency perspective and thinking about a daily kind of currency that you use, the credit card kind of replaces your daily fiat currency. And if we look at Visa's payment volume in the first or fourth quarter of 2017, it is here. You can see it in the graphic. And for the podcast listeners, we're currently looking at the comparison between fourth quarter 2016 and fourth quarter 2017, and there was around 10% of annual growth. So from 1.8 or actually 1,807 billions, or close to 1.8 trillion US dollars, to $2 trillion in payment volume by region. So the US is making a majority of this amount, and international it's around $1 to $1.1 trillion in payment volume per quarter. Now, if you multiply this, let's say by four, you get a yearly payment volume of around $8 trillion. So already more than Bitcoin is doing. But don't forget, comparing again apples to oranges, yes. So if we say Bitcoin price comparison or like volume comparison should only start for the last 3 to 4 years, it's actually not that much of a difference, considering that Visa has been in business for the last, 20, 30, 40 years, something like this. And we still don't have the killer application for cryptocurrency, for Bitcoin, all of these things. We still have the scalability issues. We have the fees that are a problem and all of these things. But imagine if we solve these problems, and we will, what are the next steps? Where are we going? Like in terms of payment volume, in terms of volume and value transferred over the network, this will increase in terms from Bitcoin side. And so kind of Visa is not really that far away or far ahead of Bitcoin when it comes to general, if we say that value transfer equals to payment transfer as well. Now, one caveat here, the 6 trillion also includes, I think it says it here somewhere, it includes also, for example, that this amount also includes rewards for miners and funds transferred to exchanges. So it's not directly people have purchased something with Bitcoin and that volume is around 6 trillion. No, it's also when you kind of deposit money onto an exchange and then buy it from an exchange, or if you're kind of a miner and you get those rewards, this is also calculated in. So I think this is important to keep in mind, yes. But still, I mean, we're at the very, very beginning of this thing. And if this thing starts to become even bigger, I think then again, sky is the limit. And Visa is not that far away. If we think about, if you think that Bitcoin's killer application will be, let's say, a watch that you can pay with, or a mobile application or anything, or a card for that matter. And maybe it will be Visa powering Bitcoin or something like this. It could very well be that the payment and value transfer over the network will increase extremely over the coming years. So keep this in mind when you're like looking at, oh man, the price is not going up, we're at this stage, blah, blah. So it's only been 2, 3, 4 years that this price action has been going on. And think about the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years and where the price could potentially go, what the value that Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies in general could bring to the world could really be. And with that, guys, we're already at the end of today's episode. Make sure to like this video, subscribe to the channel, subscribe to the podcast, join the Telegram channel, guys. I'm saying the Telegram channel has really some interesting info. I'm trying to like kind of make some goodies and share some interesting insights in there as well. So please join that. And yeah, it's for free. I will see you on the next one. Have a good one. Take care. Bye.